Shayim. We're discussing the halachas of Hanukkah. As you know, that Hanukkah is actually, as Mr. Brewer points out in his Akdama, it's up for Shayim Sittat Nalash. Mr. Brewer has a lengthy Akdama, which is taken from the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. The Rambam describes the background of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, that the Rambam says, Malchei Risha, a wicked government, imposed all kinds of zeros on Klal Yisrael, didn't permit us to engage in the study of Torah and mitzvahs, and they also entered the Beis HaMikdash and defiled the Mikdash, and as a result, we were in a very straitened circumstance. Until Hashem had rachmanus on us, and that's when the Hashmonaim came into the picture. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the language of the Rambam. The Gavru b'nei Hashmonaim hakohanim magdolim v'harogum v'oshir Yisrael miyodim v'chazu malchus Yisrael yeser amasayim shana arachu v'nashedim. And all this happened when Klal Yisrael were victorious over the enemies. This happened on the 25th of Kislev, and as well known, we only had one pach, one cruse of Shemen that was sealed with the chosum of the Kohen Gadol. It was only enough for one day, and a nes occurred, and the miracle, of course, is a period of 8 days. And that's why Chazal Misakein, the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the language of the Rambam, Yimei Simcha v'Halel. This is a mitzvah. But the Yom Tov of Hanukkah essentially is the Yom Tov of Rabbanim. And the whole Yom Tov was Niskan, when Mishnah Berurah presents it, the Neshehem Yimei Simcha V'Halel, days of Simcha and Halel, Lekach Osu Behem Ha'Hesped V'Hatainis. Mishnah Berurah says, and this seems to be the Mishnah Berurah's understanding of the Rambam's language, Yimei Simcha V'Halel. Often, one of the questions that's asked on the Rambam, where exactly is the element of Simcha in Hanukkah? Simcha, we know, is relevant. We spoke about it actually in this year when we talked about Rosh Chodesh. Simcha is relevant on Yom Tov, but it's the mitzvah of Samachta B'Chagecha. But Hanukkah, where exactly is the nature, what is the nature of the Simcha of Hanukkah? So the Mishnah Berurah himself seems to indicate, Lekach Asu Behem Behesed V'Chayis. Similar to the Pshat of the Rizk Rav, that's what Mishnah Berurah interprets, Yimei Simcha. There's an Isa and Hesed V'Chayis. So we have essentially a Yom Tov Rabbanan. Now the Mishnah Berurah does not here provide you with the background for what's called Megillas Tainis. The Gemara, in a number of places in Shas, the Gemara speaks about days of Yom Tov that were celebrated Bizman HaMikdash for different reasons, having to do with the Beis HaMikdash. These are Yom Tovim L'Rabbanan. The Gemara has a machlokes whether these Yom Tovim are Batel or not Batel, but actually only 2 days remain from these Yom Tovim, and they are after the Churban HaBayis, and they are Chanukah and Purim. There's a whole discussion among the Rishonim whether only these 2 days themselves remain. What about the day before Hanukkah, the day before Purim, Yom Lifnei Malacharim? That's a big discussion among the Rishonim. We pass the halacha that, for example, Erev Hanukkah, do we say Tachanun? The answer is yes. We say Tachanun on Erev Hanukkah. In the morning, of course, I'm talking about. And there's also Hesped takes place on Erev Hanukkah in the morning. And this would indicate that obviously Lifnei Malacharim, the day before and the day after, that did not remain. That was Batel. That was rendered null and void. So the only days that remain from Megillas Tainis are Hanukkah and Purim themselves. And they are not Batel. What exactly is the nature of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah? So here again, the Mishnah Berurah commenting on the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says that these days were Niskan, says the Rambam, the Haros of the Galas Hanes. And those these days were Niskan for the purpose of saying Halo V'Hodoa to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's what we do is, obviously, we add our nisim, both in the Shemoneh Esrei, as well as in Birchas HaMazon. The Mishnah Berurah actually points out, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, was very adamant about this, that when one says our nisim, there are two nusach. One nusach is to say without a vav, the other nusach is to say with a vav. I don't know if you recall what the other nusach is, but the Rav was very makvid to say dafka with a vav, the our nisim. The reason is because it's a hemshech of the bracha that precedes it, namely the hemshech of Modim. And since the idea of Al Nisim is to say Shalach Vodah Hashem Barach, therefore that is the reason why we have the vav. You know, the halacha is, of course, one second, that if you forget al nisim and brichas hamazon, are you obligated to go back? No, because we mentioned already in the last year that what exactly is the criteria? When do you have to go back? If you miss something, let's say if you miss Yalav Yavo, or if you miss Ritzeh on Shabbos, or Yalav Yavo on Yom Tov, what's the criteria? What does it depend on? Is there an obligation to eat a meal? Is there a chiyuv suda? By the way, the halacha beis, the Mechaber says, ribui suda shemar b'mahem hem suda sabashus. Shelo kvam v'mishna v'simcha. The Yom Tov Chanukah was not nikva for mishna v'simcha, but rather, what was it nikva for? Halavoda. And therefore, there's no obligation of having a meal on Hanukkah. Because of that, there's no obligation, excuse me, if a person forgets, Allah needs him to go back. That's the Gemara Brachas on that Mem test. The Gemara says, that Rosh Chodesh also, there's no obligation, there's a minhag, there's an inyan of having a pass on Rosh Chodesh, but there's no obligation, Mikra Din, to eat a Seuda, even though there's a minhag to have a Seuda on Rosh Chodesh. There's also the Ribui Seudos that one has on Hanukkah are Seudos of Rishus. Shalok Kvam, the Mishnah of the Simcha, let me just finish this point. And as I said, only a day that has a Karban Musaf, only a day that has a Kedush Sayyam, has an inherent Kedusha, like Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh, perhaps, that one would be obligated to go back if you've got to mention the Kedush Sayyam, and Rosh Chodesh as well, we spoke about it last time, but with reference to Chanukah and Purim, that's not the case. So here the day is simply Nikva to say Hallel, Vahodah, to Hashem Yisbarach. As a matter of fact, I think we mentioned last time when we spoke about Rosh Chodesh, there's a discussion of Rishonim, the din of Hallel. If you recall, according to most Rishonim, is that a din of Rabbanim or a din of Raisa? If you remember, most Rishonim assumes a din of Rabbanim. That's the Psakim out of Rova Adolei HaRishonim, with the exception of the Baha, who happens to pass in that Hallel, on Yom Tov is a din of Raisa. We mentioned that the two Gemaras, one Gemara in Brachas Yudalit, and Gemara Megillah and Yudalit, are associated with each other. One Gemara says that Hal is the Rabbanim, one Gemara says that Hal is Minat Torah. The resolution is found in the Netziv, and others will point out that the day that we actually celebrated the victory, namely when Chanukah occurred, the Hal that was said that year is the Din Daraisa. Hashem came in the subsequent years, when we're saying Hal Zecher to what happened, Zecher to the Nes, that is the Din Rabbanim. So here there's a concept of what the Gemara says, in which the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rambam, Lashon HaCher, is Kvorm Vasson, Yom Tovim, Bahal Avodah. And as I said, the question only is, what about the first year? Could very well be that the first year, the Hallel was Minat Torah. The Hallel was the Daraisa, and the first year of Chanukah, but otherwise, it's a Din de Rabbanan. Yeah?
Have you heard about the Vav,
yes. The Vav, because it's a Hemshech. Again, when do we say the Al Nisim, and which Bracha is it said? In the Bracha of... In Birchas Hamazon, that is.
No,
this. No, this is also the Bracha of Hodah. Rav Anisim is a Hemshech of that Hodah. So that's what we say, Dafka in the Al-Anisim. On Purim, of course, unlike Hanukkah, there is a Chiyuv of Suda. Purim is the main Mishnah B'Simcha. Hanukkah, there is no Chiyuv of Suda. And again, this is a well-known distinction between Hanukkah and Purim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch points out. Read with Sudas, Shemar B'men, Yim Sudas HaRishus, Shelo Kvom, the Mishnah, U'da Simcha. I just mentioned that Derech Agav, even though the Rambam says, the Yimei Simcha, but the Mishnah Berurah, as we pointed out at the very beginning, understands that, as relating to Issa Hesped Vitanis. And the fact of the matter is that that is seemingly the understanding of the Rambam. I'll just mention briefly another comment here, a very famous comment of the Ramo. The Ramo says, V'yesh omim sheish ktas mitzvah b'rivi hasudas. There's a bit of a mitzvah to have a massive seuda on Chanukah. Yishun debosim ha-yomim hoya chanukas ha-mizbeach. The mizbeach was once again the investiture, once again, it was dedicated during these 3 days. A very famous Ramah, which is based actually on a number of comments of the Dovid of Rishon, that if you put together a Seuda, and in the Seuda you sing Shir V'Sherach, Zmiras V'Sishvachas, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that's considered to be a Sudas Mitzvah. This is a whole discussion, as I said, among the Rishonim. And the question is, the Mishnah Berurah actually talks about this elsewhere. Mishnah Berurah discusses an issue that's raised by Rishonim. For example, when you have opinion aben, what's the status of opinion aben? So generally we assume that opinion aben is not considered to be something which engenders a chiyuv simcha. Therefore there's no obligation of a suda. And that's why what they do, if you recall, if any of you have been by opinion aben, the practice is to have the suda, or rather to have the opinion aben, b'tzoch ha-suda. Because otherwise, the sinner per se is not a sinas mitzvah. In order to convert the sinner to a sinas mitzvah, you have to have the pinyan aben. The act of the pinyan aben takes place, it's integrated into the sinner itself. That's what the Rishonim point out. However, by Bris Milah, there the Gemara says, the Shabbos and elsewhere, the Gemara points out that Sasa Noti Ala Masecha Kemotzi Shalom Rav. Now, like I just discussed with Baruch Yom Shlita a few minutes ago, in terms of the Magen Avraham, it says that once you have a B'sari meal, a flesh of the meal, Dafka the Bris Milah, because of this element of Simcha. Even though many have difficulty having meat at 7 o'clock in the morning, but that's just a not a problem for young Yeshiva Bachman like yourself, Baruch Hashem. But Sasa Nochi and Masach, the Masach Shalom Rav, it's an Indian of Simcha. And the Gemara actually points out, there's a whole Diyan actually, very fascinating Diyan in the Gemara and the Pasukim. Why is it that at the end of the Bris Milah we don't say the Bracha of Baruch Elokeinu Sha Simcha Bimona, Sugim Ksudis? And apparently, Pinyin Aben, that's a Dalla Pasha, we don't say it because there is no chi of simcha in the Pinyin Aben. But the Bris Milah, since there is an Indian of simcha, we should say Baruch Elokeinu Sha Simcha Bimona. But in general, the whole idea of the Suda, as I said in the case of the Pinyin Aben, is the Farsinus HaMitzvah. Mishnebrua also here refers to in this siman, in Tafri Shayin, this idea. He points out the Farsinus HaMitzvah to give it Hashivus, so then we go ahead and actually have a Sudas Mitzvah. But the idea here is by saying Shir B'Shevach to Hashem Yisbarach, it's a Sudas Hodoya, and it becomes a Sudas Mitzvah. It's derived by Mishnebrua from the Karban Todah. There you have a similar kind of concept, that since the Karban Todah can only be eaten for one day, and what you do is, the way the Nesiv explains in his Parashat HaTorah, and HaMikdavar, and his Chuvas, and in his Parashat HaShemitah, he writes it many times, that you invite as many guests as you possibly can, because since we limit the eating of the Karban Torah to one day, in order to have twice as many people eating together, so that the Baal HaNes should praise Hashem in public, it should be a public Odah, so then we go ahead and invite others, in order to share in this pirsum of the of whatever happened, which is l'chaim a person, to bring a carbon photo. I mean, someone asked me before, a birthday party. Is that a Sudas Mitzvah? Or for that matter, a wedding anniversary. Certainly the marriage itself is certainly a Sudas Mitzvah, no question about it. That's a Gemara in Sudas, in the first parak. But I'm talking about, can I convert it to a Sudas Mitzvah? The answer is yes. If every birthday you decide to go ahead and make a Siyam on Shas, I don't know if you're going to see him on a Masechta, or see him on a, let's say, a segment of Tanakh, assuming you learn the Be'iyun according to the Igros Meisher, according to Moshe Feinstein, that's how. So, and you say, Shana Chodot Hashem is brought for a milestone in your life. So every Siyam of every segment of Tanakh, every Siyam of every Seder Mishnayis, every Siyam of every Masechta, or even the Parak, Parak HaShoah. Some people last night, I was able to listen to several people who learned with me, or actually I should say taught me, Parak HaShoah, it's supposed to be Rabbi Zinkin Shlita. And they really did a wonderful, absolutely beautiful job, I would say even fantabulous. I told Rabbi Zinkin last night on Parak HaShoah, they read the Gemara flawlessly, not just the Gemara flawlessly, Rashi flawlessly. There was a tremendous amount of Chazara that they did, really. It's a testament both to the Rebbe and to the Talmidim of the Yeshiva. And that certainly is warrant for a Sudas Mitzvah, no question about it, to know Parak HaShoah and Mitzvah Hashem to know the whole Bar Mitzvah. Okay, so just a comment here again on this notion mentioned by the Ramah, it says Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you say Zmir, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can convert it into a Sudas Mitzvah. Let me mention one or two other things that I also found in the Mishnah Berurah here. Very fascinating things in the Mishnah Berurah says with reference to this particular sin. A number of what I'll call curiosos. As far as the Mitzvah Simcha and Chanukah, I saw actually quoted from the Sefer Sefer Hayom. Sefer Hayom is a Sefer that Mishnah Berurah Kesefer quotes. He doesn't quote it here, but I saw quoted in the Sefer Zeh HaShulchan by Ashray Lubitzky. So he quotes the Sefer Hayom, it's one of the Rishonim. He writes that during the days of Hanukkah, one should not become sad. In general, one should not be sad. One should always be b'simcha. But he writes during the days of Hanukkah, one should not be sad. One should show sasa the simcha and all the wonderful chasad that Hashem has done for us during these days. And he quotes actually from Yisrael Salanta, that is to say, the Sefer Zeh HaShulchan, from the Sefer Or Yisrael, Yisrael Salanta, that once apparently they were talking to Yisrael Salanta Zatzal on Hanukkah, and someone mentioned something which was mitzayr, which caused a certain degree of stress and pain. And the Rosh Hashanah said, that's also on Hanukkah. Now I don't mention anything on Hanukkah that causes sad, that causes pain. The reason is because it's also because the Rambam says that you may simcha v'halel, and that means there's Issa Hesper v'tanis, as we just pointed out from the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore, that's what Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah actually points this out elsewhere. I think it's in the Chin Zayin, where he points out that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to say on Shabbos anything that's mitzari. The Shabbos is the only thing that's mitzari. So there you have a similar halacha in Chin Zayin, I believe it is. And here also, the Rambam felt the same thing applies as well to Hanukkah. Now the Shulchan Aruch mentions, the first Sif tells you that these days are also behesper v'tainis, you're allowed to do malacha, there's no isa malacha, v'nagos ha'noshim sholas malacha, v'yot shaner es galkos. I mentioned last year that when I got married, so my wife Shlita told me there are several times in the year that she doesn't work. Namely, she does not work on Chanukah v'shor shaner es galkos, the Chanukah Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, she doesn't work on Matzoi Shabbos after Havdalah. It's based on the Yerushalmi quote by Tesla Sochim, Makam Shinagu. I was not aware of that Yerushalmi. She made me aware of it. She doesn't work. What else? Rosh Chodesh, of course. After a few more times, I asked her, when does she work? But anyway, that was a... So here, the Mishnah Berurah says over here, Tzidkat and Dalet, in Taf Rishayim, he tells you, when exactly is this minhag relevant? It says not to do malacha b'shabbat shaner es dolkos. It says in Mishnah Berurah toch hazman lechatzi shor, within a half hour. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what's the reason? Kedei lahakir she'asa l'shtamish da'ora, in order to recognize that you're not allowed to use the light of Chanukah. You know that when you're looking between Ner Chanukah and the neighbors of, shall we say, of Shabbos, and Shabbos is supposed to be nene, supposed to derive benefit from the candles. And at Chanukah we know that asa l'shtamish da'ora, neres halal kovishen. And their father is a very beautiful essay by a wonderful, wonderful Mechaber that some of you, I think, are very familiar with. He used to be here in BMT. You know what I'm referring to? He's Rosh Hashiva actually at BMT. Rabbi Mirsky, in one of his svarim, he has beautiful svarim, gorgeous svarim. Kedai to invest in his svarim, if you have the Yazdaiti. He has, the svarim I've seen, he has several volumes, several essays. In one of the svarim, he has an essay on the chiluk between Neres of Shabbos and Neres of Hanukkah and Neres of Mikdash. Gorgeous essay. And he writes actually very, very beautifully. His style is very rich and really is saturated with all kinds of goodies. Anyway, so he has a long discussion about it. The question is, what work do women not do? I think you mentioned last time, I was thinking that you last time, in terms of your wife, as far as people not doing Malacha Rosh Chodesh. My wife does not do Malacha Rosh Chodesh. But you mentioned the two areas that we're talking about. What are they? One that relates to Tevia, Asiyas Pagodim, weaving, garments and the like. Others say it relates to Tefira as well, and some say it relates even to Kibbutz Pagodim. But certainly it should not be more Chomer than Rosh Chodesh. It should be more Chomer than Rosh Chodesh itself in terms of what's Asa and Rosh Chodesh, so therefore this should not be more Chomer than that. But I would say the same thing applies also in Stamet Hanukkah. I saw actually, in the name of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, that they bring down that in his father's house, in the house of the Stipler, even though on Rosh Chodesh they were knowing that only Tfira, only sewing was Aser, however on Chanukah they asked all Malacha that was Aser in Chalamoy. Unbelievable. All Malacha that's Aser in Chalamoy, they asked it actually, and the reason is because apparently on Rosh Chodesh there's a Hekir and a Tziyamtiv, even though you only refrain from Tfira, from sewing and Kvisa, because the for Malach is the entire day. Mashenk in Chanukah, it's only a short period of time. It's only Toch Hatzi Shor where the Neros are being lit. There's not such a Heker. A person doesn't simply engage in Tfira or doesn't engage in Kibbutz. That will not suffice. So therefore, he has the Kabbalah of Masoret and his father establishes that self that all Malach that's Asa Chalamoid is Asa Chanukah as well. However, it seems to me that. Yeah, I'm talking about women, yes. Don't make a mistake here. Dafka for Nashim and not for Gvarim, not for men. I think most Poskim don't know like this. Someone told me, I think my Rebbe said, in the name of Ramesh Feinstein Tatsal, that he also asked it on Chanukah, Malachas Asuras B'Cholamai. However, I think Rebbe and Poskim are not in agreement with this position, and therefore it's only a question of minute. Whoever doesn't have this minute, still it can be Mako, it can be Sadech Adam Akilim. Mr. Brewer quotes here, he writes, Noagim Ho'aniyim Nesavim B'chanukah L'Apsochem. This is the end of Sidkat Nalef. It's a meaning that Aniyim, actually, they make their rounds Psachim, and there's also another minhag. I mentioned this on Rosh Chodesh. You'll think that every time I say a shir, I mention the same minhag. Namely, there's a minhag to give matanas on Hanukkah that I assume people are familiar with, giving matanas. I saw that in the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, that's another beautiful sefer that's kedai to become familiar with. There's a whole series of blue svarim. And he was the mashkiach in the yeshiva in Panovich, but again, his style is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I don't know how to describe it. He's a Talmud of Rav Dessel Zatzal, with an Eliyahu. So he actually writes in one of the Chalukim he has in the Mo'adim, he points out that the reason for this minhag, why we give matanas on Chanukah, so the basis for it is because, I think he said the name of the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav was the one who founded the yeshiva in Panovich. And he suggested that the Greeks, one of the exeris of the Greeks that's mentioned over here, was not to permit us to become involved in the study of Torah. And therefore, when they were able to prevail over the Greeks, and they were victorious over the Greeks, they had to once again convince young children, and once again, somehow reinstate the minhag of learning Torah. They had become so rugged not to learn Torah, that in order to once again somehow recreate the excitement for Limud HaTorah, that they give young children matanos, I guess those are incentives that we give, and that are given to them in general, in the world at large, in order to encourage people to learn Torah, and because there's a zecha for that, you give matanos HaChanukah. That's of course the name of the Panovich Rav. I thought that was very original thinking. But whatever the case is, I saw that in the Avdak Kamenetsky, because I also heard from my Rabbein, they told me that the minhag comes from something else, because there's a minhag actually to send money to one's Rabbein, Aydeh Tinokos. And from there, the minhag came to actually give to the Tinokos themselves also matanos. And apparently we don't assume there's a problem with Chukas HaAkum. It's not considered to be Chukas HaAkum in the country. Most likely, they took whatever minhag that we have, they took it from us. In general, Chukas HaAkum, Taisus Rice and Abelazar, and Afid Aleph, Chukas HaAkum is based on one of three things. Either a minhag that has no reason whatsoever, no rationale to it. Secondly, a minhag that is essentially based on Abelazar, or a minhag that's based on Pritzus. That's called Chuk Abelazar. But anything other than that is not a Chuk Abelazar. I just want to mention that because I've said many times here, they have an Eretz Yisrael here in the state of Israel. There's a prominent practice of on Yom HaShoah, and also they do it on Yom HaZikaron. There is a kind of, I shouldn't use the word azakah, especially now, but there is a siren that is sounded, and people actually stand for 2 minutes, and just to remember those people who perish, those people who are Masu Nefesh, in order that we, Baruch Hashem, should be able to live here in the state of Israel. Whatever the case is, that's not Chukas HaAkum, it's not a Pasha to me, it doesn't fit into any one of the three categories I just mentioned, it's not a Zara, it's not a Shema Zara, it's not a Shema Princess. I think there is a reason for it. Whatever the case is, here also there's no problem. I just want to mention this business of playing dreidel, which is, for some reason, not mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. I looked for it in the Mishnah Berurah many, many times. Mishnah Berurah does not quote this practice of playing dreidel for money. And this, of course, is a big subject of a discussion. Those who are Sfaradim Toharim know what the position of the Mechaber is on this matter. The Mechaber in Choshen Mishpat, I think it's in Shin Ayin, but you have to check. The Mechaber actually is very machmir on this type of behavior. Saka de Kuvya, Gemara Tzaledin, is considered to be a kind of gambling. And I think what Ovadia says, Shlita, Ovadia that is, he says very, very clearly and explicitly that this type of behavior is asur bechle. So did any Sfaradim here play dreidel? I hope not. However, the Ashkenazim have, as usual, all the coolest in the world. It's not really true. The Sfaradim are the ones who are generally mekel, and the Ashkenazim are the ones who are always machmir. Hilchos Shabbos, Ayin Malo Daver. And the same thing applies in other areas of Shulchan Aruch as well. But here the Ramah is matir, in Choshen Mishpat. And anyway, one has to be careful not to give things b'toras matana, perhaps. Afterwards, means when the moment that you are involved in the Mishnah itself, everything is yours. Otherwise, you have a problem of Mishnah Bekuvya, issues of Asmachta. And the fact of the matter is, we're only doing it on Chanukah, and therefore it should not be, it's not considered to be a problem, al pi halacha. I want to mention that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is a very beautiful idea. I always mention this in the Chashlom, he points this out, that the etzim hafakas ner Chanukah in and of itself is halavod doat Hashem is barach. Means when a person lights ner Chanukah, and that's the mashmaos of the Rambam as well, that a person realizes the obligation to go and say shevach to Hashem for all the nisim that he's done for us in terms of nitzachon and melchama. We say actually in the nusach of al nisim, And there it allo, ala chulo, the ala nechono, the hodos, the hamal shim pagodo, al nisechon, the ala nechosecha, al yeshua secha. And the truth of the matter is, Rav Soloveitchik was always medayik on Moshe Masechah Sofim that I xeroxed here. Masechah Sofim, it says, first you make the bracha lahadit ner shel Chanukah, and right away you say, haner talo and tov l'shem. You say that, those few sentences, and then you make the bracha of shel asa nisim v'shech yano. Why is that? We're not knowing like that. Anyone knowing like that here? Except for perhaps some briskers who follow this position. But the Masechah Sofim says that, and this clearly is an indication. Said Rav Soloveitchik, and Avshalom Zalman also was masking to them, that a person, when he says the bracha, the Abin Neshna Chanukah, and right away he says, the Neros Halola, why is he saying it? To know that why am I doing this act of Adokas Neros on the Yeshua, on the Nitzachon, on the Melchama, to say, Shalach Lodot HaShem's bracha. That's what both Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it's in Hari Kedem, and it's also another Shura where Rav Soloveitchik said, we have the Chanukah, and I saw the same idea found in Nechash Lama. So therefore, this is something that one should be cognizant of when one lights Neros Hanukkah. Yeah.
Why is it not
enough to
say?
Why?
Yeah.
Why
say
I can't hear you.
Hefsek.
Because anything which is a tzarech is not a hefsek. It's pashut that it's a tzarech. If we are defining what the nature of Adokas Neros Hanukkah is, how are we defining it? By saying Neros Hanukkah, that's what we're doing. So then that's not considered to be a hefsek. Anything which is a tzarech, a bracha, is not going to be a hefsek. I'm involved for many years, Michael, in the following issue. And I don't know what to do anymore. I almost had a point of, shall we say, probably throwing in the towel. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik was very makbid that the last bracha of Sheva Brachas should not be interrupted with song, as is the custom in 99% of people who get married. You know what I'm talking about? Asher Baruch Sassim Asim Fachasim V'Kala. Usually the person who says the bracha begins to say it, and right away, Baruch Hashem, people who are so joyous and happy as they should be, begin to sing Asher Baruch Sassim V'Simcha. Usually he waits, and the question that Rav Soloveitchik raised with that is the question of Shokhid Elimur Eskula. The Gemara says if you wait till you finish the entire bracha, there's a hefsek. Then it's not considered to be a proper thing. It's a hefsek in the bracha, and you have to say the bracha again. So I'm Machmir, and for years, when I'm in the Sadi Kedushin, or if I say the last bracha, I don't permit them to say. But 99% of the people are not happy with me, and everyone sings. And they try to explain to me, it's a Tzarech HaBracha. Why? I still, for the life of me, don't understand why it's a Tzarech HaBracha. I have no problem with people singing, but why do they have to dafka sing in the middle of the bracha? I had this argument with my nephew not long ago, Shmuley Wiener. I left the argument on the topic, and he's being honored by Hashem at a dinner. They say he's going to do the apostolic, I think I could discuss it with him. And I did discuss it with him. So he attempted to defend the practice, which is the practice of, I think, most have that kind of a practice. And it's really a beautiful thing. I'm not saying it's not a nice thing. Anyway, but anything to Tzorech HaBracha, plus it's found in Masechah Sofer, Michael. It's not that this is something which we are introduced into the world. It's found very clearly in Masechah Sofer. Okay, I just want to go on to a little bit. Talk about, yeah.
Does
Rashid say, in the Bracha, the Harikata
mentions it, that
I
should have Pretty
sure it shows
the
Rashid
last year and
said,
you're looking
for it. Which issue? By doing this?
By the Bracha, by
Noras. Yeah, I couldn't find anyone talking about it. I did look into it actually last year because of you. I didn't find actually a direct reference to it. He mentions that, that's correct. I think you pointed it out to me also last year. I have to look further. I shall try to do so. Let me just mention one or few things in Tefer Shayin Aleph, and then we will more or less, I guess. In Tefer Shayin Aleph, we're talking about the Iker Mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, and the Iker, the Gemara says here in Shabbos, as you probably know, there are three levels of the Mitzvah. The Gemara says the Mikra Adin, the Gemara points out that what are we obligated to do? The Gemara says the basic obligation, I'll read the language of the Brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Besa. The basic mitzvah, each household should light Ner Chanukah. V'amahadrin, Ner V'kol Echad V'echad. Second level. Third level, Mahadrin V'amahadrin, V'machonim V'tzvim V'shamay in Beisila. So the Ikat HaKadosh Chacham was that each person should light in his home, Ner Ishu Besa. Mahadrin, Ner V'kol Echad V'echad. Each person should have their own name. And this is the subject of the very famous Machlokes Hillel Mechaber Amo, found here in this second siman already of the Hilchos Chanukah. Namely, the Rambam paskins that each person should light his own menorah. And the nature of this mitzvah is no longer issue based on. Everyone should be mother to own there. And the Rambam actually says later on, Tafra Shayim Hey, the last Rambam over here, he writes that the child is a Giyal Chinuch, a young child, he should also light his own menorah. So this is the position of the Rambam. The one who argues on this, of course, the famous Rambam. The Rambam knows differently the nature of the Mahadran. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, the sum total of people in the family, let's say it's 90 people, so the Baal Bayis every night should light 90 candles. Not that each member of the Bayis should light the Megavach. That's the language of the Rambam here. And the Rambam goes further. Mahadrin and Mahadrin. The first day the Baal Bayis lights 90 candles. The second night he lights 180 candles. The third night he lights 270 candles. And of course the problem is, according to the other Rishonim, how do they understand this din of Mahadim and Mahadim, namely what the Gemara says, Meisa Vailuch? This is a discussion that the Mishnah Berurah has over here, and the classic Pesukim have. Does it mean that each person should light their own menorah? Or do you say, no, the Ikra Mitzvah is that one should light for everyone else? Mahadim means each person lights his own. And Mahadim and Mahadim doesn't go on the Mahadim, it goes on their Rishon Meisa. Instead of a father, let's say, lighting for his household, so one person lights every night, according to the number of people in the household. So on the second night, one person lights a candle for everyone. That's how Taisus here learns here in Masechet Shabbos. And Taisus says that Yikomakom, Mahadrin, he says, doesn't go on the Mahadrin, but Amin is not like Taisus. Because it comes out according to the Rambam, you have the following. You have Ner Yishuv Beiso, he's one Ner every night. Then you have Mahadrin, 90 Neros every night. Mahadrin and Mahadrin, first night, 90 Neros, the second night, 180 Neros, the third night, 270 Neros. Well, according to the Taisus, Mahadrin, each person lights one there each night, and Mahadrin and Mahadrin goes on there Rishon Beiso. So, in terms of the issue of lighting there, it's kind of like you have the fundamental machlokes between Taisus and the Rambam. So, how Ashkenazim Noeg? We had Noeg not like Taisus. Ashkenazim, the Rambam says here, we had Noeg like the Rambam. Namely, we have Moshe Olech, the Taz Aware, Esther Kasha, Manishtana, Halayu Azer. We call our levels. That is to say, why is it that somehow Chanukah is enough for Chuz? The Ashkenazim follow the Rambam, and the Sfaradim follow the position of Baal HaTosfos. Whatever the case is, this is a famous machlokes, a famous issue, and Sfaradim and Ashkenazim are knowing accordingly based on the Mechaber and Rambam. I'll just mention one or two other things also found here in the Tafresh Ayin Aleph that are discussed at great length by the Mefarshim. Maybe I'll just go backward by referring to one fundamental issue. The Gemara says here in Shabbos, the Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'micha pesach beisim b'chutz. You're supposed to light outside. M'hoya dar ba'aliyah, if you live in, shall we say, in a high attic position, floor, etc. Manicha b'chalon asmuch l'shus harab. You put it near the window next to l'shus harab. M'shas ha'sakona, this quote by Shulchan Aruch in Sifrei, in Tafresh Ayin Aleph. The question is, why is it that today we don't light outside? I'm talking about the Chutz La'aretz. There's no sakana today, so why should you not light outside in Chutz La'aretz? And this question is asked by many, many of the Gedolei HaPoskim, including the Or HaZeruah. I'll tell you the Or HaZeruah's answer. One of the Rishonim, he writes, "V'yoyim l'talek sakana lo yodana ma'itayim einon ha'malikim b'chatzeres." Since there's no sakana today, why should people put sarats, not light, outside. Here in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag of many is to light, as we know, outside. What we have is a glass menorah, and it's protected. So we're not worried about the wind blowing it out, extinguishing it. And we light outside. So some want to argue that me'acha she'nagu b'shash ha'sakama nagu. Once the minhag actually developed to light inside, we always light inside. Taisus writes in Shabbos, it's part of Yerushalayim Aruch actually, that today the Iker of Siman Yisrael is dafka bifnim, dafka inside. But others want to say that since Chazal will mesake in Mishum Sakona, ain l'shamas. For example, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah about Kiyah Shofar, the Iker Adin, when should we blow? In Chakras of Musaf. We should blow in Chakras because of the din of Zvizim Magdim and the Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Seh Daraisa. We do a Brismila in the morning, we also do Kiyah Shofar in the morning. However, the Gemara said there was a Shas Sakona, they were dafka to Musaf. Once they were dafka to Musaf, so it remained the Musaf. So also in a similar kind of vein, that even though there's no sakana, maybe Shema Yachzer Adam L'Kukula, as a result of that, the item remained actually to light inside. The Ramah says here, Tafer Shainal Siv Zayin, that even Zman Hazeh, he tells him, Adlikim Bifnim, Mitzvah L'Anicha B'Pesach HaChedah M'Smol, Mishim Masubah B'Mitzvahs. You should be surrounded by mitzvahs. And the Shabur writes here, Siv Kadna B'Ches, I'm reading it, he quotes in Rogan Avram, we come from Yeshua Chabal, and some of which is a rabbi, if you have a window, Nachal Yosef, Shem Yechemesham, these what the Gemara said that you put it with Pesach and all you should be surrounded by mitzvahs. That's talking when there's also Pesach and Nisa. Hashem came, if you light the Pesach HaKheder in the entrance to the door, there's no Pesach and Nisa. Better to put it in the window, because there is a mind of Pesach and Nisa, which apparently trumps or overrides the mind of the Mesuvah of the mitzvahs. It's the Mashmos here of the Mishnah Berurah. And the Prima Gadol said that's how people are knowing. Some people are knowing like that. Whatever the case is, the Iker Pearson, according to the Ramah today, is the Bnei Beisa. And therefore, there are many who are knowing, even Eretz Yisrael, you should know, there are many Minhagim here. Many people light outside, and many people still light inside. And there are those who light actually the Chalom, Asam, which is a Rabbi. And I'll just mention one last Shaila, which is quoted also by the Mechabi of Siv Zayin. The Mechabi says that Pesach she'ein bo mezuzah, you meet Adif. If there's no mezuzah, then the right side takes Pesach. And Shabur here writes in Sukkot Lamadale, because kol midi di mitzvah, you meet Adif. As I mentioned many times. What did Horace Greeley say? Go right, young man, go right.
Go west.
That's right. By now you should know he said go west, young man, go west. But this is the thing, the Gemara says all over Shas, kol pinashal, taponel lo yiponel limina. For example, Chadoni on Friday night, when you turn around, how do you turn around? Towards the right. When Kohanim turn around, the right first to face in the Arna Kodesh, and then they turn around in the middle of Bracha and Sivanu to face the Kol. Which way do they turn around? Again, clockwise. It's always clockwise, always going to the right, as it did in general. And so Shavur says over here in Sikkot Lamadali, that Kol meaning the mitzvah, you mean Adif. The further one, the Shavur says, the Ikar Pesumi Nisa Tvei Shakol Ponim Tzad Yamin. And therefore, sometimes people are koveya mezuzah in a Pesach, it's not mechayiv mezuzah. Like let's say, for example, Gemara says in Yuma, in order to mechayiv mezuzah, has to be a cheder, which is dalal adalal. It's not dalal adalal, it's not mechayiv mezuzah. But even if there is a mezuzah in Alpidin, you're not mechayiv mezuzah, there's no ma'ariv mezuzah limit. There's no plus here. And that's what you should make sure that you put in there Hanukkah in the Pesach, it's mechayiv mezuzah, l'chaladeus. Okay, so if there are any questions or any comments or any ka'aras, in terms of where the light over here, we've been going through this for many, many years. And you can imagine every single minhag has been presented. I think there's demand nowhere where people don't light. It seems to me, at least now, every year I think differently. Probably the best thing to do is not to light outside. That's the maskana I came to in the last number of months. And probably the best thing to do is to light, I assume, when people light right outside the door of the dormitory. Is that where they light? Or by the steps, by the madrigals, or in the dining room. This is the minhag yeshivas. Minhag yeshivas to light the dining room. And this needs a lot of ian, what exactly the nature of that minhag is. I believe that I shall try to discuss it next time, what the basis for that minhag, which I think is the most popular and most common minhag in all of my yeshivas, came out everywhere. Again, the reason primarily is because Chas V'Shalom shouldn't be dropped a bit of fire. There have been many, many unfortunate and tragic accidents over Hanukkah in many yeshivas over the years, even leading to fatalities of Chol Hatzlan. And certainly that itself is the basis for lighting in the Chadar Ochel, where one eats. But I will leave that and try to elaborate on this matter next time. Any comments, arrows, questions, pronouncements, whatever you want. Okay, have a wonderful day.